She's the media maven with her finger on the pulse of the heartbeat of Chicago. If it's happening in the Windy City, she's got you covered. Now here's the lady that puts the fun in fundraising, Candid Candace Jordan.
Well, welcome back, everyone. I'm so excited. This is our second podcast. I hope you caught the first one. I'm on the podcast now with my best friend, dearest friend, longtime friend, John St. Augustine, author, media star, and that beautiful voice you heard in the opening was, of course, Jennifer Weigel, also a fabulous author and media star. So you guys make me look really good, John. I appreciate it.
It's our job to do that. We live for this. Yeah. We got to prop CJ up and make, no, you don't need our help.
Yeah, I need everybody's help. Believe me. I thank you, though, for being there. And I'm glad you're here today because we got so much to talk about, John. Oh, my goodness.
I know. You know, you're pulled in a real ringer because later on you're going to be talking with one of your best Playboy Playmate bunny pals.
Right, exactly. Kathy St. George. And we've spent a lot of time together. I have some great stories, and she shared a lot of them on this podcast later. So stay tuned. But anyway, I want to talk about last night because it's the most current. I went to the opening of Expo Chicago. Now, you know, that's that big art fair that's at Navy Pier. And this is their 10th anniversary. They had over 170 exhibitors from 36 countries and 90 cities around the globe. And I'm telling you, it was jam-packed, which I think is really a good sign for Chicago. I mean, it shows that, you know, this city's not lost. I mean, you know, we still can attract business. Are you an art lover, John?
You know, it depends on the art, I think.
Paint by numbers?
Paint by numbers is good. If I can, you know, like the little scratch-off thing. There's like a, what they call it. It's like a relief painting. You scratch off, find out what's underneath, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's what I figured you'd be interested in. Well, okay, well, moving along. Harry Carey is also another global figure, popular global figure. And on March 29th, Grant DePorter hosted a worldwide toast to Harry Carey to celebrate the 25th anniversary of his passing. And it started, get this, at 5 a.m. That morning and lasted on into the evening. And everybody was there except you.
I've been to one of those many years ago. And it's a little intimidating because obviously Harry Carey, icon, not only Chicago baseball, but baseball in general.
There's a drive way back. Cubs win. Brings hits a home.
And Harry Karaoke is one of my favorite things to do. When I worked at Harpo, I would actually get requests. I did a pretty good Harry Carey back then. I would get requests for people to create audio for them. And so I would get a list of people's names, and I would usually do it at Christmas time. And I'd go down the list as Harry Carey for Christmas. Candace Jordan spelled backwards as Aramis Ramirez.
You just gave it. That's a great idea. You could do like phone recordings
for people. I think that Dutchie would have something to say about that.
I just love that.
And $14.99, I'll save goddamn anything you want.
Well, you do. You know, who else does a great impersonation? Who was there impersonating that night, of course, was Ryan Dempster.
Dempster, the fiery left-hander for the Chicago Cubs.
and Bill Curtis was there.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was. He had his own jersey with his number and
name
on it.
You have a picture of that? You have to send me that.
Yeah, wow. I definitely will send it to you. I mean, he looked really cute. And Richard Roper was there, and Ron Kittle was there.
Ron Kittle.
Yeah, and Governor Pat Quinn.
Governor Pat Quinn, related to the governor of New Jersey, Bill Quinn.
Look what I've started. It was a hell of a night. And, you know, they had a little, the score was on stage, you know, broadcasting live. And they had this little performance where they re-elected Harry Carey, mayor of Rush Street. Oh. And it was really cute because at the end of it, they had this beautiful metallic confetti that rained down on the entire crowd. And we were all lifting beer, Budweiser's, you know, and a toast. And I mean, it was really exciting and a lot of fun. You know, also I want to talk about Giordano Dance Chicago, one of my favorite dance companies in the city, celebrated their 60th anniversary.
You mean with Giordano's Pizza?
I was afraid you're going to say that, John. I'm telling you, it's not pizza.
Oh, sorry.
They're a fabulous dance company, and they celebrated their 60th anniversary with a performance and gala. I was the chair of the event. I'm so proud. It was a great success. We had over 380 gala attendees and a sold-out 1,200 member audience for the performance.
Wow. Yeah, that's not pizza.
Blew it out of the water.
Yeah.
And the coolest part, there was a VIP package that we sold out of that you could go behind the scenes on stage before the dancers came out to perform and to see their pre-warm-up, you know, what they do before they go out. I mean, it was super exciting. They have a prayer circle that they hold hands. I mean, it was so moving and so inspiring. And I mean, and they had the Bourne family that closed out the performance. It was in the finale, and it was, they had all 26 dancers on stage. It was so exciting.
What
so
a vibrant
exciting.
City we live in.
Is the truth. I mean, it's there's something to do, and everything is just on fire. And I, the title, you know, I wrote about this in my blog, CandidCandice.com, and the title of it is Chicago Eat, Sleep, Party, Repeat. And that's kind of, you know, and that's what we're all kind of doing now. And I love it. I absolutely love it. So, you know, we got that going for us. So do you like dance, John?
Depends on what kind, just like the art question, isn't it? You get enough wild turkey in me, I'll just do about anything. So, but there's no proof on that in photographs or anything, but I've done it.
Well, were you at Faces on Rush Street during the disco days?
No.
Okay.
I was more doing the boot scoot boogie out at some place after the urban cowboy craze. That was more my speed. Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, I got you. Well, I do love country music. So.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to do something different. I'm going to introduce our first sponsor for the podcast.
Da-da-da-da.
York Furrier, Chicagoland's favorite purveyor of gorgeous furs, stylish outerwear, and unique accessories for men and women since 1931. They've been in business for 92 years.
Wow.
At 107 North York Street in Elmhurst. And they offer on-site services, including storage, cleaning, repairs, restyling. All store labels are welcome. And I want to congratulate John and Kathy Resney on a great business. And they just do a great job out there in Elmhurst. So thank you for your sponsorship.
And welcome to the show.
And welcome to the show. So let's see. Now, so next up, I have some events I'd like to discuss with you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And this is off the cuff because I don't know where you're going here, sister, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, no. I just want to talk about some events that I don't want anybody to miss. Because, as we mentioned, Chicago's on fire right now. And PAWS Chicago's beach party is coming up July 27th. Now, you know, you're familiar with PAWS Chicago.
Yeah, this is a big thing for you.
This is a really big thing for me. And, you know, they've saved, like, since they were founded in, let's see, in 1998, PAWS Chicago was founded. And since then, they've saved over 76,673. They've adopted out cats and dogs, that many, since 1998. So they are doing the most amazing work in the city, and 98% of the animals that entered their program was saved. So that alone is worth attending to support this organization. Mm-hmm. July 27th, yes. So now also, you know, Joffrey Ballet, I love dance, and I love Joffrey, and they are mounting their largest production ever, The Little Mermaid, now through April 30th. Get
wow,
that.
That's
the
cool.
largest production ever. I mean, and this is a big company. They've been around for a long time, but this is their biggest yet. So it's not to be missed.
Not to be missed.
Not to be missed. And, you know, art festivals are coming back, and I'm so excited because I love art festivals. I know you do, too.
You're not going to ask me the art festival question,
no,
CJ?
No, I'm not going to ask her any. But Amdirt Productions does so many of the art fairs and festivals in and around Chicagoland. And the first one up is the Lincoln Roscoe Festival, art and craft show on May 13th and 14th. Did you get that? You're writing this down?
Listen, you know how hard it is for me not to go, Roscoe Jenkins, St. Louis Browns, 1914. But yes, go ahead.
All right. So now here's something that's really fun, and it's the Fleur de Vie. And this is a floral fashion exhibition that's coming to the 900 shops May 3rd through 7th. And if you haven't been, this is the second one that they've done. Last year they did, and what it is, it's like two floors of mannequins outfitted in purely flowers by local floral artists and you know, floral company, design companies. And it is like nothing you've ever seen before. It is so spectacular, and it's free, and open to the public.
Is it free?
Yeah, free.
Oh, good.
And open to the public on May 3rd through 7th at the 900 shop. So don't forget it. So also, am I I hope I'm not bored anybody, but I just have so much I want to talk about, and I don't want to leave anybody that's important out. So the Randolph Street Market's celebrating 20 years. That's one of the Midwest's largest vintage antique markets, is coming back on May 27th to 28th, Memorial Day weekend. And the Service Club of Chicago, one of the longest running women's charity organizations in the city, will host their Day on the Terrace fashion show and luncheon back at the Peninsula on Monday, August 7th. So I hope you've written all this down, because it's a lot of information.
And if not, you can just email me and I'll give you my copy.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you can find this in my blog too, but I'd love to, I like being able to tell people about these things. So yeah. And I have one final thing that I'd like to discuss.
Okay.
And it's something that's a really feel-good moment for Chicago's restaurant. I mean, when I heard this story, I was so excited because it was so sweet. You know, Gibson's restaurant on Rush Street is one of the most popular spots in town. And their staff is known for being so kind, so giving. I mean, it's like family when you go there. So recently, you know, Jimmy John Leoto, who is the founder of Jimmy John's Sandwiches.
Yes.
You know, they're across the country.
Why don't you ask me about that? Because you know the answer to that one.
I know you know the answer to that.
In so. Just mass quantities.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Do you like those?
Gosh, yes.
Yeah. So his father had passed away recently. Mm. So he had called Kathy Picone, who everybody knows and loves from Gibson's, and asked her if she would mind putting his dad's photo up on the wall.
Very cool.
Yeah, because he was going to have a tribute dinner to his dad that night. And he wanted his friends to see his dad's picture, blah, blah, blah. So Kathy put the photo up on the wall. He and his friends came in, tears all around. It was so touching. Hmm. At the end of the night, he left a $100,000 tip for the staff to thank them for all their years of being so kind to his dad.
GTFO.
Is that unbelievable?
$100,000.
$100,000.
Tip?
Yeah.
No.
To be split among the staff. I wish I was working at Gibson's.
Hold on a second. Can you just back up? He left a six-figure tip for the staff.
Six-figure for the staff, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm telling you. I mean, he really loved his dad.
That's a fantastic thing.
Isn't it fabulous? Mm-hmm. But that just shows you, you know, there are good people in the world who aren't afraid
and
to
CJ,
show
CJ, let me just say this. If I saw it anywhere, it was on your blog. I didn't see much coverage of that anywhere. This is why this show you do is so important.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, they contacted me personally and wanted to give it to me. So I was so thankful.
They
wanted
to give
that.
You the tip?
Yeah.
$100,000?
No, the information. Oh, John, I'm going to slap you when I see you. For more information, you can, of course, check out my blog, candidcandice.com. Next up, I'm really excited to introduce this guest. Her name is Kathy St. George, and she is a fellow Playmate friend of mine, Playboy Playmate. Her centerfold was August 1982, and she's an Army brat. We've spent a lot of time together. We taped a German television program, and she was also, in 2017, one of the seven Playmates that recreated their iconic covers 30 years after the fact, along with me, Monique St. Pierre, Charlotte Kemp, Renee Tennyson, Lisa Matthews, and Kimberly Conrad Hefner's wife. So we have a long history together, and I'm excited to have her on. Kathy, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we had a little technical difficulties, but we finally have you on. You know, first and foremost, what I want to talk to you about is I know we share the same opinions about Hugh Hefner. We both love him, and we both had great memories of him. Tell me what you remember most about him and a little bit about how you came to be a Playboy centerfold.
Well, him first or the centerfold?
Yeah, go with him first. Start where it started. Start with your centerfold.
Okay. To be honest, as a teenager and a young girl, my birthmark was a Playboy bunny with a bow tie. So it was always a joke I would do Playboy. And I came into an aesthetics class when I moved to Los Angeles from Florida, and a makeup artist discovered me in the audience, and she recommended that I go test for a We cover, which at the time was owned by Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, I did a We cover. I remember that magazine well. I loved it.
I loved it, too.
Yeah.
And but when I went in to shoot with him, I said, listen, I would really love to test for Playboy. And his name was Dick Bruin, I remember. And I said, I would love to test for Playboy because I just got a divorce and moved across the country, and I could use the money.
So, right.
So he shot a test for me, and we submitted it, and they brought me in and tested me again. And I ended up also working as a makeup artist for them because they discovered me when I was testing. And so I ended up doing a bunch of Playmate centerfolds. So when my centerfold was actually accepted, I shot a centerfold. It was accepted. They had all of the photographers' work, all of them contributed a picture to my layout.
Oh, that's awesome. So who were the photographers?
It was even Carrie, who did the testing. He got one in. Dick Bruins, one of his was used for my original test. Mm-hmm. Arnie Freitag, Pompeo, Richard Fegley.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they all, six photographers, they all had pictures in.
I don't think that ever happened. I think every centerfold was probably shot by one photographer. You're unique.
Oh, and Ken Marcus.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you've had some heavy hitters. I know Dick Fegley shot mine, and I loved him till the day he died, and it was a sad day when he left us. There's no question.
Oh, me too. And he shot my opening cover. Oh. And then Ken Marcus shot my centerfold. So it was just a mishmash. But the thing that was so funny is because everybody had shots in, they ended up using a lot of bed shots. I said, I look like a whore. Because I was in bed all the time, but different beds.
Yeah. Oh, so different beds. Well, that's not a good look. There's no
because
question.
They were all shooting separate sets, you know.
Oh,
so.
God. Well, tell me about your experiences with Hefner. I know that we both loved him. And tell me some of your favorite memories of him.
Well, I'll tell you my first memory. I mean, I did go up to the mansion. I started going up to the mansion when I was a makeup artist, but also because I was shooting. You know, mm-hmm. I was in the process of shooting my centerfold. And but they called me and told me that Hef needed a makeup artist for Halloween. And I had never, even though I had been in his house, I was always too scared to talk to him. You know what I mean? Because he was just like, you
larger
know,
than life, yes.
Yes, and this was very early. I mean, this was 1980s, you know, mm-hmm. so early. I'm like, I didn't get in the centerfold till 82, so I was literally around for a couple of years because I was working with all the centerfolds doing makeup mm-hmm. and stuff. No. But the thing is, I went in and I went up to his bedroom, you know, because they had a van and they had him set up and lights and all that. And I was making him a vampire. And I went in, and it was my very first Playboy party, and I made the whole outfit that I was going to wear myself, and I was a unicorn. But the thing was, I wasn't dressed yet, but, you know, he was asking me, and he was very friendly, and, you know, we talked through the whole thing. He goes, well, what are you going to be, and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I had looked at this Philip Dixon shoot from a German issue, and so I really liked the way this vampire looked. He was really hot in it, you know. So I said, I'm gonna go with this kind of look, and so I did it. But in the layout in Playboy, they had a very thin, menacing, deep purple inside, just to make his lips look skinny and but also bloody a little bit inside. Uh-huh. And when I went to do Hef's lips, he goes, oh no, you can't do lipstick on me. And I said, why not? He said, because they'll think I'm gay.
Oh, bless his heart.
And I said, I don't think that's what they're going to think, ever.
So did you make him into a cute vampire?
I made him into a hot vampire. And then I told him I was going to be a unicorn. And he said, do you know how many horny jokes you're going to hear tonight?
Well, probably your fair share, no question.
Actually, well, I stab people in the throat a lot with my horn because I'm so short.
Well, let me ask you another question. Now, you know, we are both very well aware of this handful of malcontents that have been so negative about Hefner and Playboy recently.
Yes.
How do you respond to that kind of, reputation, trying to damage his reputation after he's dead so long?
Well, I find the thing that's hardest about it is that, number one, I knew some of the people very well that are doing this. I was actually a roommate to one of them, and lived with her, and everything I know to be what she said is, I can contradict it. You know, I mean, I'm not going to, but the thing is, there is no, first of all, he never encouraged drugs at all.
No.
Never encouraged, I mean, he was not, we were adults, and the thing is, I saw more drugs outside the Playboy Mansion in my life at other places than I ever saw in the Playboy Mansion. And whatever they did, they were done in private, in bathrooms, or not to his knowledge. And that was even, I will even say so, and the same about his girlfriends, you know, that they, he did not encourage that at all, because he had lost his assistant to, you know, let's just say that people would love to have gone after him for drugs. So he knew that that was the case. He knew that he was a target. So he was not going to make it easy for people, you know, and so he told us, please don't do, if you're going to do that stuff, do not do it in a public place, in my house. Respect my house.
Well, that's one of the reasons he moved to California, is because Chicago, they were all over him here, you know, trying to get their name in the papers and by using him and, you know, having
and
something
Bobby
negative.
Arnstein.
To,
Bobby Arnstein.
Exactly, right. So it was a real mess. And, you know, I get so infuriated when I hear these shows and hear these girls talk. I mean, I remember vividly how excited they were to be on his arm, to be living at the mansion. You know, I know one in particular wanted to have a baby with him and he refused. And all this sour grapes is coming out now after all these years with this man gone. And it just really infuriates
me. Well, that's what they do. They wait till the person cannot defend themselves. And the thing that's strange is he probably wouldn't defend himself, because he would probably think these people are so ridiculous they don't deserve a response.
100% correct. I agree with you. Absolutely. Yep.
I mean, he, at first I heard all this and I went, well, gosh, I mean, he never did that to me. Was I that unattractive?
I get it. Yep.
I said, there's no way he had to chase anybody, because there was enough girls chasing him.
100%. That's well put. Now, Kathy, I know you met so many celebrities through your affiliations with Playboy, and you dated some really hot people back in the day. Share with me who some of the ones that impressed you the most. Who did you meet that impressed you?
Oh, you mean as far as
celebrities,
dating?
Celebrities
that I...
Yeah.
To be honest, people that I met, I mean, not per se biblically, but that I met, Warren Beatty was a sweetheart, and everybody thinks of him as this dog, and trust me, I mean, he was the best listener, and to this day, if I ran into him, he could remember the last thing we spoke about.
Oh my God, that's unbelievable.
I mean, I could go 10 years, and he would remember the last conversation we had.
That's so cool.
And,
who else?
Oh, well, gosh, I mean, I'm trying to think, because there were so many, Jimmy Kahn, and but through there, I mean, Paul Stanley, but there were so many celebrities, it got to where, to you, it was every day, and that's something that Sandra Theodore once said to me, and this was only a few years ago. She said, the reason we forget a lot about our lives, even though they were so incredible, and because I said, I forget a lot of the stuff that happened to me.
Yep, me too.
And people will sit there and tell me a story about when they were with me and all this fun stuff that happened. I go, I don't even remember that. And I said, I was going to write a book and have a chapter of what people remembered about me that I forgot.
Well, that's the only way I could write a book, that's
but
for sure.
I mean, the celebrity, it became, she said, the reason we forget is because it was normal to us.
Yeah, that's true.
It was like going, it was normal, but there were so many wonderful people. I mean, a guy I had a crush on ever since I was young, Franco Nero.
Who's that? I don't know who that is.
Franco Nero played Lancelot in Camelot. The movie Camelot, you know, with and I had such a crush on him, and I was actually sitting next to him at the dining room table, and I was thinking, oh my God, I'm sitting next to Franco Nero. I mean, oh my God. And then he invited me to Rome. Oh, you know, and I went, oh my God. And then I found out he was with his mother, and I said, no, I've already had one bad divorce because of a mother-in-law.
Well, there you go. Well, you know what? You know, Kathy, what the you just sparked a memory. You know, everybody who was anybody wanted to be invited to a Playboy party. I mean, it was true in Chicago. I know it was true in L.A. So, you know, I mean, Jack Nicholson, you name a celebrity, you couldn't name somebody who hasn't been at a party. So it's like the opposite of trying to think of people who was there. It's like, who wasn't there? You know,
that's you're right. I mean, yeah. I remember sitting with Henry Mancini and his wife at Hef's birthday, one of my very first parties. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's Henry Mancini. You know, I mean, to us, I mean, like to a lot of younger people, that might not be a name that's really falls off, you know, but the thing is, to me, it was somebody that I thought was amazing, you know, and so many of the people, oh, I remember sitting and in the med room and talking to this guy for a while about his chiropractor recommending it, and it was Peter Lawford.
Oh, wow.
You know,
yeah.
And it was all, and Hef had a tendency to take in a lot of his friends who might be going through a bad time, or like Peter, he let live at the house. Mm-hmm. You know, he would take people in that might be going through a tough time or this or that, and he would give them a place to live in his house until they were better, or if they'd had a surgery or anything. He adopted all his friends.
Oh, he did. And he helped out so many playmates secretly that nobody knows about. I mean, I know of instances where women, girls didn't have the money to bury a loved one, and he would pay for the entire funeral services.
That's
I know
right.
that for one of his ex-girlfriends, he even threw the shower at the mansion for her, you know, and
I
this
remember.
Is one of the ones complaining. I mean, I don't get it. Anyway,
That's
you know,
right.
besides celebrities, you know who I met there that really impressed me? Buzz Aldrin, the astronaut.
Oh, my God.
He was there with his wife. I think it was like his 17th wife or something. I don't know. He just got remarried. I think he's like 100 and he got remarried, bless his heart. But
I wonder if the moon killed some brain cells and all those.
I have no
idea.
He was a very active man. Let me just put it that way, from what I can see.
Well, at least he married him.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, so you never knew who you were going to meet at these parties. It was so incredible.
It was so much fun. I remember being standing to use the bathroom at one of the big parties, and at one of the girls walking out, she had Mini Me resting on her hip.
Well, he was at a lot of those parties. That's
right. I know. Once he was there all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. So, Kathy, you and I used to do a lot of Playmate conventions together. They were called Glamour Cons.
Yes.
And this is where all the Playboy Playmates would gather and sign autographs. And I think that's where I really got to know you the best, because we had such fun together at those conventions. And I miss them, don't you?
Oh, I sure do. I mean, I actually started pursuing doing other conventions because of GlamourCon and because they were winding down. And I did the Wizards in Chicago, and I did a lot of other ones. And but the GlamourCons were like a sorority. You know, we got to see each other. We would go a year without seeing each other, or I think there was like two a year. So, I mean, it was like we looked forward to it. We looked forward to getting together and see how everyone was doing.
I know. It was such a great time. It was a great get. You know, the last one I did, I can't remember what it was called, but you know who was in the booth next to me? Angie Dickinson.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she had to be like 80. And I'm telling you, she had that little twinkle in her eye like I could imagine all those men fell in love with. And, I mean, she still had it. She was as sweet as the day is long. So
Frank Sinatra told me a good story about Angie Dickinson once.
Tell us.
Well, I can't.
Yes, you can, Kathy.
Oh, my God.
Nobody's going to hear it.
He was at the White House.
Yeah.
For a party during Kennedy's, and he went upstairs to use the phone, and he walked in on President Kennedy and Angie Dickinson.
Yeah, what were they doing?
What do you think?
Well, it it was rumored that they had an affair, a torrid affair. Yeah. So it's confirmed right here on the podcast.
And she said, and Frank, he was sitting next to me in a restaurant, so I was talking to Frank Sinatra, and he was saying, and she's doing the hand motion, get out, like this to him.
Oh my God, I love it. Well, men just worshipped her, you know. I mean, she apparently was very closed-mouthed. She didn't kiss and tell, which obviously everybody appreciated. But anyway, it was really, I mean, Chuck was with me at this convention, and he, of all the people that was there, that's the only person that impressed him, and he was dying to get his picture with her. So, I mean, that was really a special
moment. She was also one of the first women to ever insure parts of her body.
Really?
Yeah, she had her legs insured. Angie Dickinson was one of the first women that insured, you know, part of...
Lloyd's of London. Lloyd's I remember London. They used to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, Angie they Dickinson wanted to insure my eyes. I got a request for that. I wish I'd have done it now. It was a great PR stunt.
Well, I'd have had to kill you.
Kathy, I love you. We just spent some time in Palm Beach together, so... a couple of months, we spent some time at some great restaurants, and you had your darling little dog, Maybelline, with you. You look fabulous, as always.
Oh,
you haven't changed
a
whit, and I just love you to pieces. I love seeing you. And what's up on your calendar? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm actually trying to book some things in up in New York right now, but I'm possibly moving back to New York, so I just found that out this week. But I still want to keep a little place, a small place down here, because I just get tired of the cold, you know. As you know, I just co-hosted a couple of podcasts.
Yeah. You hosted it with Echo Johnson, who was Miss January 1993.
Something in the
90s. Yes. And it's called The Bunny Chronicles. So you should check out The Bunny Chronicles.
And Candace was a guest. So.
Yes, I was just their most recent guest. I'll be sharing that soon on all my channels as soon as the video comes out. But also, tell people how they can follow you, Kathy. Where can people find you on social media?
Well, on social media, I am on Instagram, of course, Kathy St. George. And on Facebook, I have a fan page as well as a regular page, Kathy St. George. And then also, you know, my fan page, Kathy St. George. So
fabulous.
That's pretty much, it's like I've not been on a social media. I'm not into TikTok and all that stuff. Like I said, I don't have the time to do all of that because I do, you know what I mean? It's like, but, and plus I just can't dance that much. So I think dance a lot more, but.
Yeah, well, I think TikTok's branching out beyond that dance genre, but I agree with you. I'm not on TikTok. I don't want China following me on all my endeavors.
Well, that's it. See, I worry about some of these things. I find that Instagram is the one that people are most using. And I have been really bad. I think only when I go out with you do I take pictures lately. I mean, it's
well,
like...
I kind of force you.
I love it, though. They always... You're good. She makes me look good, folks. And plus, I went and had ice cream and thought of you guys the other day that little ice cream place that we think might be a money laundering place, but we're not sure.
Right, exactly. A little too much business there. Anyway, Kathy, thank you for being with me. I'm thrilled to hear your voice again, and thank you for sharing your memories at Hefner and Playboy.
Thank you so much, Candace. I love you, too.
Talk to you soon. Okay, so, John, what did you think?
Well, I got to tell you, we were doing the tech check, which is something we do prior to the show. This was really prior to the show, right? Because it's just the way the communication went. And Kathy says to me, she goes, I'm technically challenged, but I look really good naked.
Well, that sounds like her. And she does.
Thank you. Yes, I know that. And then, but your conversation, was a couple of things that popped up.
Yeah.
First, to hear the camaraderie between the both of you, I think was just the synergy, this shared experience that both of you had with Hugh Hefner, with Playboy, with the mansion, all that kind of stuff. Such a unique part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what you thought, why, I mean, it was almost like a phenomenon. So he comes out of nowhere in the 50s, he does his magazine, he borrows a bunch of money. I've always thought, because my dad was a subscriber for like 40 years. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always thought that part of Hefner's genius was filling this magazine with articles and things that are interesting to read to get people, men, reading. And then, of course, connecting to these beautiful women. But it seemed like it was, you know, you couldn't pull that off now. The world's very, very different now. What do you think were the ingredients that allowed this to take place back in the day?
Well, you're absolutely right. You certainly couldn't pull any of that off now. I mean, it's unbelievably, it would just be, well, I won't get into reasons why. But I think the reason that he was so successful is because he found a hole in what people were thinking about, hoping for, dreaming about. And he was that man. He was the man who kind of identified other men's dreams and put them into the magazine. And, you know, and quite frankly, you had it the other way around. It's not they didn't read and then see the photos. He put the photos in to get them to read. So, I mean, because he started so many famous authors. I mean, yeah. Ray Bradbury. Yes. I mean, their first articles were published in Playboy magazine. So, I mean, he was really a connoisseur of so many things. Besides, you know, obviously having an eye for the ladies, he also was greatly cultured and just very worldly. And even coming from us, you know, here in the Midwest, he had a much wider vision for the way, you know, he thought people thought. And he was right about it at the time. I mean, in the 50s, 60s, and all through the era of Playboy, and I always called the 70s a golden age of Playboy because that's when I thought the Playmates were the prettiest. Of course, I'm a little prejudiced, but sure. I truly did. They were very unique. They were diverse. In the later years, they kind of all started to look alike to me. But I loved it in the 70s, but I just think that he was a genius, and I think that his legacy has yet to be told in its entirety.
And following exactly what you just said there, I found it obviously really interesting, as I think a lot of people are listening to this, but also those who already know you or Kathy, that you're a great defender of his legacy, that it seems to be that there's so much, you know, I worked with Oprah for 4 years, and I got to see behind the scenes as well. And people say, you know, do you work for Oprah? I said, no, I worked with her. There's a big difference. And I always felt like lockstep with her doing the radio thing and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like all of you did the same thing while you were working and being in the magazine and stuff. It was more like a family atmosphere to some greater or lesser degree, which I think makes you more adamant than many who, you know, think this was a really important part of your life that others may not see it that way.
Oh, it's 100% true. And, you know, they still have Playboy Bunny conventions and they have reunions every year at cities across the country. They have the workers, employees who worked at Playboy clubs have their own reunions. And so what he created, it was a lifetime of friendships. And I mean, Kathy's just one of the few, but I'm friends with so many of the past Playmates. I mean, that we, you know, retain our connections. And I think it's because such a unique sorority that, you know, we shared experiences that no one else in the world can talk about. So I'm really grateful for him for that and to all the girls that he brought on board who were all so fabulous that I still love to this day.
Well, as I always tell you, off the air as well as doing this show, this is really important because people get to hear things they don't hear anywhere else. Stories like the two of you talking that nobody's ever heard before, really. And I got to tell you something. My dad had an Angie Dickinson t-shirt. And I could never figure out why.
Oh, well, now you know.
Now I know.
Oh, well, thank you, John St. Augustine, for all you do, for first of all, for so many. I mean, I know you've got a book coming up with your baseball friend. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I'm going to try not to slip into Harry Carey here, but I've been working on a book for and with my buddy Randy Hundley, who was a great Cubs catcher in the 60s and into the 70s, and he created all those baseball fantasy camps, and he'll be 81 coming up here, or 82, 81, I think, in June. And so I've been working on his life story with him. He asked me to do this about 8 months ago, and it's a lot of work, but it's a labor of love. And I think a lot of Cubs fans and baseball fans will get a lot out of reading it. So I'm looking forward to that this summer.
That's awesome. I can't wait to help you promote it. Thank you. Well, thanks for being on. And here's, I'm going to end with a quote. Listen closely. Sometimes you don't get what you want because you deserve better. Soak that in. So true. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for joining me again on my second podcast. Third one will be coming up soon. I appreciate your support.
Thanks for listening to the Candid Candace podcast. For more of what's going on in Chicago, go to CandidCandace.com.